Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed, and we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light, for you are nothing else.
Life, right here on Block Talk Radio.
Revolutionary Life is a program that addresses issues that deals that affect our lives directly and indirectly every day. Except we deal with those issues from a revolutionary point of view. Thank you for being here. Keep in mind, Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? And Revolutionary Life also is presenting every Friday. As a matter of fact, today's Friday, 6/11/2021. Every Friday, we usually do a wrap-up of the subjects of the week. We're here every day, every weekday. And so we're on Friday, we go back through some of the subjects of the week. Unless something important comes up, we go back through the subjects of the week and just recap there. Just give those who's missed those subjects of the week, or who'd like to know what they were, or who'd like to comment on them and to get a chance to while we were live. This is your chance. And keep in mind, all of our episodes are archived. That is to say that all of our episodes are on demand. All our previous episodes. This episode will be on demand in about an hour after we finish today. And so, if you hear one of these topics that we went over through the week that you'd be interested in hearing more of, because this is just a recap here, then just go to our on-demand section. If you're on my site and you scroll down, you will see the on-demand section. And on that section will be all of our previous presentations by topic. Pick your topic that you're interested in, hit it, and you can listen to the entire program. Our show is a call-in show. That is to say, at a certain point in each of our shows, we shut it down and we open it up. I'm sorry, we don't just shut it down, but we open it up for call-ins. Give out our call-in number. And if you're on my site, you should see that number. But at a certain point, we will be giving that number out over the air, and we will open our chat room. So if you're interested in sending a question, a comment, suggestion, et cetera, you can drop it into our chat. I'll be monitoring that chat and answering those and addressing questions and things in the chat. All right, guys, if you're ready, here we go. We're going into our Friday wrap-up. Last week, we went over several subjects last week. One of them, I took the time out to go over something called Memphis 2.0. Memphis is my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee. And there's a lot of problems going on there. And there's a lot of people who are concerned about them. And election after election, things haven't changed. In fact, they seem to be getting worse, guys. So I did a presentation on that town. It's a Mid-South town. It's in Tennessee, right? Border city, border town. And it has a history. You might remember Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated here in 1968, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, 1865, something like that. 100 years later, a century later, or more. Martin Luther King was shot dead in this town fighting for the rights, the basic civil rights of those same enslaved people who the law freed 100 years ago before. Still fighting, still dying. And so, so that flag was dropped in Memphis, and so I did a little presentation on our city. If you're familiar with the city, if you've ever been to the city, if you know someone who lives in the city, if you're from the city, as I was, born and raised, I was born here, went to school here, got married here, went to college here. This is my city. My parents and grandparents' bones are buried in the ground in the cemeteries here. So this must be my city. So I call it my city. And so I know more about it than any other city. So I'm somewhat of an authority on life growing up in a mid-south town called Memphis, Tennessee. Second largest city in Tennessee, by the way, next to Nashville. If you're interested, guys, and if you know anything about this city, you can go over there and take a look. But listen, some of the issues are addressed about this city. It's not just about this southern city. It's about several southerns. It's about a lot of southern cities that have a similar situation. It's not just about those southern cities. It's about a whole state that have similar situations, many states. It's not just about those states. It's about a federal government that seems to be an example from one end of this country to another with spots, with situations, with political economies and political and governments and things that are behaving in quite the same way, just on a smaller scale here in Memphis. But on a larger scale, it's the situation for the nation. It's just an example. The federal government is in debt, right? There's a debt clock. I think that's in New York, is it? There's a clock you can walk up in public and walk up and look up to, and this clock shows you the national debt. How much debt this country is paying off is in. Doesn't say who we're in debt to. I know China is one of the bigger ones. So it gets me. So the nation's in debt. The state of Tennessee is in debt. The city of Memphis is in debt. The people of the city of Memphis are in debt. So like I said, Memphis may be a microcosm of your cities, of your states, of this country, to tell the truth. Memphis 2.0 was a presentation on my town that what we could do to address these problems differently from what we have been doing, which is voting, which was going into a booth, pulling a lever, voting for a candidate, and going back home and hoping things change. It hasn't worked, guys. Has it? If you live in my city, if you've been living in my city, if you were born and raised in my city, if you're just visiting here, if you just got here, you might not understand where I'm coming from. I got that. Those Memphians who've been around a while have seen this vicious circle of election after election. We died in this city. 1866, there was a massacre in Memphis around voting. But white people killed as many black folks they could find. 1866. I told you that Martin Luther King was assassinated. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in this town, fighting for the civil rights of people who were freed from slavery 100 years ago. And so, if you've been around a while, you may be able to relate to that, to some of the particulars in that presentation on Memphis. If you haven't, check it out. You might find that it's similar to what's going on in your town, if you will, and in your country, your state, your country. There's similar activities going on with government all over, and especially certain cities, Detroit, Chicago, Memphis, certain areas. And so we did that presentation on Memphis, guys, and we proposed a new way of addressing situations here. We call it Memphis 2.0. And it introduced a new organization among Memphians for change in the city. That's more than gathering the vote. We've gathered the vote before many times. Doesn't seem to be the answer. History says it does, not me. History says spinning our wheels. So what should we do if walking into a booth, voting, and then going home, sitting back down, hoping things will change? What else can we do? Well, we can organize a different Memphis. I call it Memphis 2.0. And it's just a community. It's just an organization. But it's an organization that's a demonstration possible in this city. Small demonstration, but a demonstration no less. And I'm sure this demonstration of organization called Memphis 2.0 is built as an example, a model of what can be done with when the people organize. Somebody looking at that situation might say, everything is there that we need. It's just a matter of scale now. And so as the organization gets larger, more people participate, boom. Memphis 2.0 could be Memphis, period. But it's got a little work to do. Anyway, so guys, that's one of the main points, main things that we did in Memphis 2.0. We addressed the city, we addressed the city situation, and we introduced another route by which we might be able to make change in the city. If you thought voting was all you could do, your only path to change. It's not. Never have been. There is something else we can do for ourselves. All right. And I say, your city might have something similar going on. I don't know. Check it out. Going out on-demand section, hit Memphis 2.0. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about the city. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about the politics in the city. Maybe you'll learn a little bit about what people can do besides electing one official after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And still homelessness, hunger persists. And like I said, the problem can be mimicked, can be seen, similar. Situations can be seen in cities all around this country, to tell the truth. All around the state, country, you can see some of the very same things that are happening in this town. The slogan, of course, with Memphis 2.0 was, we took a military slogan, that an army moves as fast as its slowest soldier. In the military, they said that an army can move as only as fast as its slowest soldier. So if we were going to go forward, guys, if we were going to advance this city, we have to go back and get our slowest soldier. As opposed to what's going on in this city right now, where our slowest soldiers being left beside the road to fend for themselves, being cut loose as dead weight, being resigned to prisons and homeless shelters, and a daily grind, a daily struggle to survive. I told you in that presentation, guys, and you can look this up, you can go back and listen to that whole presentation, but it's very important that you understand that this city's in trouble. And voting hasn't changed it. And there is no magic pill in voting for another, sending another person into that meat grinder called city government. Anyway, so that was Memphis 2.0, guys, and we did that this week. You can go through our on-demand section and listen to the entire presentation and see what that Memphis 2.0 organizational effort is about. You might want to do something like that in your town. If so, let me know. It's just a basic organization, but it's going to be a powerful one. And it's going to be a demonstration of what's possible. A small demonstration is all that's necessary. People learn by demonstration. And then it's just a question of scale. It's going to be obvious that it's just a question of scale. And so, that was our first topic this week, I think it was. And we also took on, now they said they got a new stimulus check coming out now. And then in July, for families with children, a child credit of some kind. And so I found out that there is an effort in Washington right now where over 2 million people have signed a petition that there should be monthly stimulus checks coming out. Back to 1400 that came out, there are some saying it should come out every month. I tell you what, let me give you a little music. When I come back, we'll talk stimulus checks. Every month. How about that? I'll be right back. Thank you.
It's awesome. That's so little. Yeah. I'll pass it on.
And you're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here, guys. We're here every weekday night, Monday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there, be square. On Fridays, guys, we do our wrap-up. And tonight's Friday night, 7 p.m. to 9. And tonight, guys, we're wrapping up our weekly presentation. We just do a recap of things that we've presented, episodes down through the week, for those who missed them, those who'd like to find out what we talked about. And we also direct everyone to our on-demand section where you can listen to the full episode. Now, just to recap. The full episode, because all of our programs are archived. So everything's on demand. Everything we've done is on demand. One of the subjects we discussed last week was Memphis, small mid-south town, and state of Tennessee. I did that because that's my hometown. I knew more about it and its history. And its present situation than any other city and country in the world. I'm somewhat of an authority on the subject, since I was born and raised here, since I went to school here, since I went to college, the University of Memphis here, since I was married here, since I've worked here. I have some insight, I would think. Anyway, I presented a new approach to change in this town called Memphis 2.0. And you can go back and listen to the presentation. Another thing that we discussed last week was these stimulus checks that are coming out. It's part of the rescue plan. But there's a petition I mentioned before we left here. There's a petition that's going around with over 2 million signatures calling for monthly stimulus checks. That $1,400 they sent out, there's a call for those to go out every month. 2 point something million people signed this petition, including some Democratic lawmakers. To me, that reminds me of another presentation we did that you can also go look up on our on-demand section about universal basic incomes. There's a concept called a universal basic income. I think Andrew Yang, an Asian guy who ran for president, in the last election, and he had proposed a universal basic income. I think he was talking about $1,000 a month to everybody, every month. There are several countries that have already implemented or plan to implement a universal basic income for its population. So a regular stimulus check is just the next step to really to talking about a universal basic income. And so in that presentation I did, I recall the universal basic income standard, that what it does is it provides a floor, not a ceiling, for working people in this country. There was some naysayers who said, well, hey, universal income, people won't want to work. Well, first of all, that ain't your problem. Second of all, that proves not to be true. That the universal basic incomes that are being put in around the world is no solution to your hopes and dreams. It may put food on your table. It may pay your rent and utilities. It may buy your kids clothes for school in winter. But it's not, but it's not an answer to your hopes and dreams to the point where you're not going to go to work. You're not going to get that nice home. You're not going to get that nice car. You're not going to take that nice vacation on a universal basic income. You're not going to send your kid to college on a universal basic income. There's a lot of aspirations that human beings have to pursue their goals, starting a business, pursuing their art, music, art, whatever, that they can't do right now because they're busy trying to feed themselves and their families. A universal basic income means you might be able to sit down for a minute and find out why you're here. You might have time to sit down and figure out where you're going with your life. You might be able to pursue your happiness. One of our constitutional premises, the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of your goals in life. If you're running every day for basics, for primitive survival needs, and that's criminal in 2021, in my opinion. In 2021, a caveman got up every morning and risked his life for food, clothing, and shelter. This is 2021. Food is still an issue. Clothing, shelter is still an issue in 2021. We're going to the moon, guys. We're going to Mars, guys. We fought wars, world wars. We bailed out GM. We bailed out auto companies, billion-dollar private enterprises. We bailed out financial companies, Wall Street. Trillions of dollars became available just this year. Under the last administration, we gave a tax cut, permanent tax cut, to the upper classes, to those 1%, those people who make millions of dollars a year. So the money, it ain't like the money ain't there. We can bail out corporations, but when the last time we bailed you out? When the last time the government come to your aid to bail you out? But a universal basic income, it ain't much, but it sets a floor through which your citizens do not fall through. It sets a basic floor, a human being floor, a human floor, through which your citizens do not fall through. No matter what they pursue in life, if they fail, if their marriage fail, if their business fail, they don't fall into homelessness, hunger, and ragged. That's where the floor lies. A universal income sets a floor. It says you don't fall below this floor in this government. You don't go homeless here. You don't go hungry here. The reason I said the pursuit of survival needs, these ancient pursuits, are still around in 2021 is on purpose, guys. And you know how I know that? I know that because somebody says that if you give people a universal basic income, they won't go to work. Well, how is that your problem? The only person concerned about the fact that you might not go to work is those places you go to work to. The corporations that demand that you show up 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, on time, every day. And you produce for them. They're afraid that you won't take that wage that they're offering you because you have a universal basic income. You have a floor where you can pick and choose where you want to work. Here's what I mean, guys. I've heard a woman tell me that she hates the job that she's on. They want her to work all these hours. They don't pay her anything extra for all those hours. And she wants to, and the conditions are terrible. And she'd like to leave that job tomorrow if she could. But she says they got a health plan that she's a part of. She bought into. And she has a son with a chronic medical condition. And she really needs that health plan. So she's sticking with this terrible job that she hates to go to each day. Because she needs that medical plan. Do you know if there was a universal basic income? Do you know if there was a single payer, centralized health care in this country, like there are in most industrialized nations in Europe? if I should speak to that, but centralized health care means that the government got you on the health care. You don't stick with a job just because they got a health plan and let them use you and abuse you because you got a health, because you need that health plan. If you have centralized health care, if you have single payer health care, whatever they want to call it, socialized health care, if you want to call it that, then you can pick and choose. You have options. A universal basic income gives you options. Somebody prayed for you to have options. Somebody would prefer that you have to get to that job every day on time. Your kid is sick. I don't care. You are obligated to be here on time. Get somebody to take care of the kid. I need you here. Boom. If you're late one more time, you're getting fired. But I have to catch the bus to work because my car ain't running. That's your problem. A universal basic income gives you options. There's somebody who prefer that you have none, that you don't see a way out other than coming to work for them. Yet you don't have these kinds of choices. And so they'll say, well, people won't go to work. Now, would that bother me that somebody decide they want to try to live from one month to the next on a small universal income? Would that bother me that you have options on where to work, when to work, what kind of job to accept, what not to accept? Wouldn't affect my life at all. All right? And so a universal basic income, from where I stand, as somebody who's a worker, who's somebody who sold their labor for a living, mental and physical, to make money, I see a universal income as being a floor that a government provides to its people. And I'll leave you with this. If you want to see, now, again, guys, if you want to hear this entire presentation, you can always go to my on-demand section. You'll see stimulus checks. You'll see universal basic income as a topic. Hit it, and you can hear the whole show where I go into the weeds a little bit on this. I talk about these other countries. You know, let me just say this. In some of these countries, man, especially Scandinavian countries, Norway, Sweden, things like that, they have a high tax rate. When you get your paycheck, man, the government's already hit that paycheck. Big time. Taxes are out the frame in those countries. Do you want the government taking all your income and earnings and taxes? In those countries, when people ask the question, well, I got to pay all these taxes, where's all this money going? And then they're reminded in Norway and Switzerland and these places, when they ask the question, where's my tax money going? Where's all this tax money going? They're reminded that their kid is a doctor now. Their kid was able to go through medical school, and it didn't cost them a dime. When they ask where all these taxes going, they're reminded that when they had that kid, they left the hospital, and they have no idea what it costs, what that the birth of their kid cost in that hospital, because they have centralized health care. So when they look, when they ask where their taxes are going, they are reminded that they didn't have to pay to see a doctor. They didn't have to pay to send their kids to school. And they look at you and they watch you saving and struggling to send your kid to college. They watch you avoid going to the doctor because you can't afford the bill, the copay, or whatever it is. They watch you appeal to insurance companies to cover your illness. They might cover it. They might cover some of it. They might make you pay for some of it and your medications. They watch you struggle with those things. And they're reminded, that's why I pay so much in tax. Streets are clean, safe to walk in. My kids in university, going on to be whatever they want to be in life. Everybody's healthy. And if they're not, they can walk into a doctor's office anytime without thinking twice. You know, that's why they say those countries have people in it with a high happiness level, because that's not the stress that we have here. And they're reminded why they pay those taxes. But all you have to do is mention these countries to people over here, and they'll say, oh, yeah, well, they're taxed the shit out of you. That's okay with me. I spend my entire paycheck for food, clothing, and shelter, and I have to go back next week to make some more money that month so I can pay some bills. And so sometimes I look at that paycheck and say, hey, y'all might as well give this to my debtors, my debtors, my creditors, the people I owe. Because by the time I pay my bills, this check will be gone. You ever been there? You ever seen your paycheck and said, by the time I pay my bills, this check is gone? I'll never get ahead this way. Maybe I need to get a second job. So much for your hopes and dreams and aspirations. You're busy just trying to survive. When the medical bills come in the mail, do you throw them away? When that student loan come due, are you able to pay? No, we're in debt in this country big time. And we're stressed out because of it. We get them phone calls from these collection agencies, all that good stuff. So that's stressful. I don't know. A universal basic income is options. It gives you options. If you're wealthy, you got options. You don't have to work for anybody. You can pick and choose. If you're a poor working person, if you're struggling on the grind every day, you don't have options. You'd like to stop for a minute and take care of a sick child. You'd like to stop for a minute and take your family somewhere where they can release their stress, a vacation of some kind, visit of some kind. You'd like to stop for a minute and make sure your mom got the health care she needs as she's getting older. You like to stop for a minute and decide how to get your kid in school and make sure he stays in school and goes to college. And where are you going to get that money from? You like to stop for a minute, but you can't. You got to go. We got to hustle. And do you have a choice? No, you say no. I ain't got no choice. If I don't work, everything goes. My house, my car, I'm in debt. A universal basic income gives you options. Somebody don't want you to have options. I'm sorry. Because it could have been given to you a long time ago. That was our second presentation this week. It was on the stimulus check, but it was primarily on this push for a regular monthly stimulus check, which just reminded me of a universal basic income. And so, again, if you want to hear that presentation, just go on back and check it out. It's a full presentation on demand. The next subject we covered was pretty deep, guys. We got deep this week. And it doesn't sound deep because if you look at the title was Light, L-I-G-H-T. Light, L-I-G-H-T. It's a veil. It's a word that's a veil pulled over your eyes. Color, a word that's a veil pulled over your eyes. And I'll tell you why when I come back. Let me give you a little music. I'll be right back. And you're listening to Revolutionary Life. Revolutionary Life. And I'm your host, Gary. And we're here every weekday night, guys, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight is Friday night here at Revolutionary Life. And on Friday night, we recap the presentations throughout the week. And again, we remind you that all of those presentations are archived, so you can go to our on-demand section. If you're on my page right now and listen to our program, you scroll down, you will see an on-demand section there and all of our presentations. All of the ones that we're recapping today and in the past are all there. All there. You pick the topic, and you can listen to the entire presentation. And now, we'll just cover the next subject that we went over this week. And I told you as I left here that that subject would be the word light, L-I-G-H-T. And when I left here, I said it was kind of like a veil, wool pulled over your eyes, the word itself. But if I ask you what is light, what would be your answer? If I ask you what is color, what would be your answer? Well, I'll tell you what. If I ask a scientist what is light and color, you know what he would tell me? And you will find it as well if you Google it. That light is electromagnetic waves. That's light. That's what you call, I've been told to call, light. Electromagnetic waves, by its very name, implies that it is both electric and magnetic. The light shining on you right now. It is both electric. It has the characteristics of electricity and magnetism. And so it's referred to by scientists, not by you. You just call it light and keep it moving. I guess you ain't supposed to understand. I don't know. But they will refer to, they will tell you that they will define light as electricity and magnetism shining on you every day, all day, in your house when you turn on a light, from the sun when you walk outside during the day. Are the stars that you see. Anything that you see, as a matter of fact, your eyes work by electromagnetic waves. Your eyes pick up electromagnetic light. You got it. The whole purpose you got eyes, it seems, is to detect light reflecting off of objects around you and shining directly on you. Color, if you ask a scientist, I'm not going to ask you because I know what they told you. But if color, if you ask a scientist, or if you look it up, you will find it's really light, electromagnetic waves also, just a form of light. Light moving at a different clip provides you with something you call color. It's light. It's the same light. But it's a different color, quote unquote. All that means is it's a different vibration. It's a different vibratory rate. That's light. It vibrates, guys. Light has a wavelength and it has a frequency. And the frequency, how frequent it peaks, is its frequency. And if it frequently peaks often, it has a short, it has a high vibration. If it peaks slowly, it has a low vibration. Frequency. So when you see a color, you can call it color. It won't give you any information about it, really. It won't give you any information about it. And most importantly, guys, and this is what this presentation was about. Most importantly, it won't tell you the specific effects of electricity and magnetism hitting your body. every day. It won't tell you that there are certain colors you can't see because they vibrate too slow or too fast, or their wavelengths are too short or too long for you to see. All the colors you know about, just about, I call visible light. Of all the light and of all the colors available to see, look it up, guys. It's called the light spectrum. Out of the entire spectrum of colors out there, vibratory rates of light, you only see 1% of them. How about that? Out of 100%, you see one. I know that's limiting. But that's all you see. You colors, you call them. You can see colors, vibratory rates of light, frequencies of light, all the way up to red, the color you call red. Once it becomes infrared, you can't see it. Oh, you can see colors all the way up to violet. But once that light starts vibrating at ultraviolet, you can't see it. That doesn't mean it ain't there. That doesn't mean it's not messing with you. That doesn't mean it's not having an effect on you, whatever effect it has. It just means you can't see what's going on. 1% of all the light and all the colors, that's all you see. And scientists call it visible light. The rest of the light is, that's because the rest of the light is invisible to you. In that presentation, guys, on light and colors, I did give an example of animals, living things on this earth, just like you, living on this earth, can see in spectrums of light you can't. And it benefits them a great deal. The example I gave was a hawk flying in the sky, a hawk, a bird flying in the sky, who's miles and miles up in the sky. But he can look down on an empty field and drop down in that field and come up with a mouse. And you say, man, that eagle or that hawk has some good eyesight to see that mouse from way up there. Guys, a hawk can see ultraviolet light. Put the two together. A hawk can see ultraviolet light. A mouse's urine reflects ultraviolet light. To the hawk, looking down on that empty field, he sees a line wherever that mouse has urinated. He actually can see a trail following behind that mouse, because that trail of urine reflects ultraviolet light. You couldn't see it. You'd walk right over. There are certain animals on this earth, dumb animals. You're supposed to be the most smartest thing, the most advanced thing on this planet, right? There are animals who can see what you see and more. So there is more to see. You just can't see it. Because it's vibrating at a rate you can't pick up. The hawk can. I gave this example several times for several animals on earth who can do things with light that you can't, that you could, but nobody would want you to, I guess. And so they don't explain to you that you, now I told you, light is an electromagnetic wave. Light has two characteristics, electricity and magnetism, and it's shining on you now. But I also told you that you run by electricity. like you were plugged in the wall. That's right. Every muscle movement that you commit to is carried out through an electrical that can be recorded, an electrical impulse. Every heartbeat beats in response to an electrical impulse. You know what I'm saying, guys? If your heart stopped beating right now, the paramedics will come in and they will take a machine with two paddles on that machine, and they will put that machine over your heart, and they will hit you with electricity. Boom. And guess what? They may be able to get your heart start beating again, because your heart beats based on electrical energy, electrical impulse. You, whether you know it or not, whether they told you or not, are electric. Yeah, just like the electricity running through your walls. You have millions of cells in your body. Skin cells, blood cells, bone cells, millions, muscle cells, millions of cells. Take one of those cells, put a voltage meter on that cell, one on the inside, one on the outside, and you'll find out that each one of your individual little cells that make up you, your physical body, has an electrical charge. Yes, it does. And if you think of the millions of cells you have, multiply that electrical charge by millions and millions and millions of cells, and you'll know how much electricity you walk around with every day. Now, why is that important, guys? They didn't tell you, did they? That's important, guys. And I gave the example of an animal who has cells with electrical charges on them, just like yours. But that animal can collect those electrical charges and fire them off at their prey and paralyze their prey. An electric eel can come close enough to his prey to throw electricity at that prey, to collect, organize his electricity, ball it up, and shoot it at that prey. And you will watch that fish go into convulsions as though he shot that fish with a stun gun. You ever seen the police shoot somebody with a stun gun? You ever notice how they seize up? Because your muscles work by electricity. You work by electricity. You work by electricity. You are electric, as though you were plugged into a wall. And electricity can wake you up and bring you down. An electric eel, electric catfish, there's a lot of animals out there, by the way, guys, if you didn't know it, who can organize the electricity in themselves into a powerful beam of electricity that they can paralyze prey with. In fact, if you reach down in the water and pulled up an electric eel with your bare hands, it would shock you. It would knock you down. You would seize up, just like its prey does. It just knows how to use its electricity, that's all. It knows it has all these cells. It knows that each cell has an electrical charge. Obviously, the only difference between it and you is it can gather those charges together and use them to defend itself, use them to communicate with other eels, use them to knock out their prey, etc. You can't or don't. I told you in that presentation that in the East, there were Zen masters who could collect something in their body called chi, think it's spelled C-H-I, Chi. And you can stand in front of them. And they can use that Chi to knock you away from them without touching you. They can use that Chi to give you an electrical shock. They can use that Chi to heal people with. Because you're just electricity. It ain't like human beings can't do what an eel does, but some dumb animal. And I say that in quotes, guys, because these animals ain't dumb. It's not that, but you're supposed to be the smartest thing on the planet, right? But nobody told you who you were and what you were made of. And maybe there's a reason for that. Nobody told you what you were capable of. And maybe there's a reason for that. And I'll tell you what that reason, I believe, was. And I'll tell you what that show I did on Light was all about. Well, in addition to defining things for you, taking the veil off of them, because some of these labels hide reality from you, is that you notice that you have a remote control in your home. That you can stand back across the room and turn on and off electrical devices. You can change channels with your remote control. You can raise the volume, lower the volume, all kind of good stuff with your from across the room. All you did was shoot a beam from your remote control that you can't see, by the way. All you did was shoot a beam of electricity, of a certain wave of electricity. Usually it's infrared. That's why you can't see it. And it's invisible to you, but if it wasn't visible, if it was just red, you would see a red beam leave your remote control, hit a certain spot on your TV, and cause that TV to cut on, off, up, down, change channels, etc. If you have a kid who has a remote control vehicle, toy, he can use his little remote control panel in his hand to make that car move, drive, back up, go forward, go left, go right. Excuse me. So you can control electrical devices remotely by shooting a beam of a certain frequency to that device. And you can literally control the movement power of that device. I even told you that in the 1800s, scientists like Volta, the guy they named Volta after, would take frog legs separated from the frog and induce electricity to those frog legs. And the leg would just jump, jump, jump every time they gave it an electrical pulse. And I've seen him take a cricket's leg, tear it off, and hit it with electricity. And it jumped, 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 because your muscles move by electricity, right? So you can control the movement of a frog's leg, even when it's not on the frog, with an exterior source of electricity. All you're doing is the same thing the frog would be doing if the leg was still attached. He would be introducing electricity to his muscles such that he can jump and move those muscles. That's what you do every time you move muscle. But remote control can control electrical devices remotely, right? With just a beam of electricity. Well, that presentation I did on light went into 5G, another form of light called microwave light. And the interesting thing about 5G is it doesn't just send out a blast of electromagnetic waves to your cell phone or to your internet receiver, your modem, or whatever. Oh, no. It sends out a beam, a concentrated beam of electricity, very much like your remote. And I stopped to remind you that you are an electrical device. And those who know you are an electrical device, those who know your muscles move by electricity, those who know how to direct a beam at an electrical device and have that device do what they want it to do. Turn left, turn right. Stand up, sit down. We got 5G, which is not a wide range of electrical pulses going out into the air. No, no, no. 5G is a beam. A remote beam of electromagnetic waves that causes electrical devices to do things like automated cars driving down the street. You, dear one, are an electrical device. And whether your muscles are on your leg like the frog or are not on your leg like the frog, you can be made to jump. Remotely. You're an electrical device. Your remote control can turn an electrical device on and off with a beam of electromagnetic waves at a certain frequency. You don't hear me. But if you'd like to hear that entire presentation, guys, I'd like for you to go over and check it out. That we don't get into the weeds on science enough that you understand that words you use every day, like light, like color, means nothing. If you want to know what's going on, you have to get behind some of these terms. Light is electromagnetic waves. They have electrical properties, and it has magnetic properties. And you know what a magnet can and can't do. You know what electricity can and can't do. Well, we spent a lifetime. We spent 100 years since the 1800s harnessing electricity, running it through wires or throwing it through the air, through antennas. Some people know a lot about directing electricity in the right place at the right time and causing electrical devices to respond. And I told you, you are run by electricity. You are an electrical device. Welcome to 5G. All right, guys. So that's my presentation. That's some of the subjects we went over this week. I'd like for you to listen to them if you're interested. If you know others who's interested, we have, if you're looking at my site, you will see up in the upper left-hand corner there's a follow button. And that follow button will give you an opportunity to follow, to know when we're live. You'll get notified when we're live here. On the other hand, next to that follow button on our site is a share button. And I encourage everyone in every show that if you know anyone who's interested in these things, these subjects, these topics that we cover, who's involved in politics and they may be interested in the political presentation that we do, just hearing things from a different angle. If they're interested in electromagnetic waves, electricity, the shit you made of, the shit that runs you, that gets you up and down, in and out, round and round, every day, all day, then share with them these presentations. There's a share button there. If you didn't get anything out of it, but you know somebody who's into these kinds of things, share it with them. That's what the share button is for, guys. It doesn't get me any points or anything. Don't worry about that. It's a share button. So share this conversation or these conversations or these topics with people you know who are into these topics. They might want to hear it from a different point of view, a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. And there's a lot of things that need changing out here. I want to thank you for listening tonight. We got a little time left, guys. I'm going to go ahead and open up my chat room. And our phone number is, our lines also open at this time. Our phone number is area code 319-527-6060. 319-527-6060. Call me, you go straight onto the air. Everybody hears what you have to say. Everybody hears my response. Put something in my chat. I'm going to be monitoring that chat. Questions, comments, put them in my chat. I'll be responding to comments, suggestions, et cetera, that I put in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat room. This part of the show, I'm going to turn over to you, as I do all shows. I call it Your Time to Shine. We're in our call-in section. Let me give you a little music, and I'd like to hear from you. and you're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight. Keep in mind, guys, we're here every weekday night, Monday to Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, dealing with subjects that affect our lives every day, directly and indirectly. Difference is we deal with those subjects from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change. Change is constant. There's one thing in this universe that's constant. Things are changing. When you're on the vanguard of change, when you're on the tip of change, you might have something to say about how it's shaped. If you're on the ass end of change, you might not have to say about anything. So we try to keep our fingers on the pulse around here of the changes that are going on. But in order to move forward, guys, we need a little clarity. And we try to provide a little clarity on some of these subjects in Revolutionary Life. I remind you guys again that we have a follow button if you want to catch us live. Just if you're on my site, up in the upper left-hand corner, there's a button you can hit that just says follow, and you'll know when we're on the air. You'll be notified when we're live. Next to it is a share button. Share these presentations with people you think might be interested in hearing a different take on some subjects that are out there already, or subjects they may be interested in. Maybe you're not, but they might be. I have a comment section on all of my archived videos and presentations. And if you make those comments, I will get them. If you catch me live, we respond immediately. But we're here dealing with these issues because it's time for change, baby. Don't you agree? And so, we still got a few minutes left, guys. We're in our call-in section. Every show, we provide a call-in section for you. I call it your time to shine. My chat room is open. We're taking suggestions, comments, questions. All you got to do is put them in the chat. I'll be monitoring that chat. Our phone line is open at number 319-527. 6060, call that number, and you go right onto the line. You go right onto the air, and you can express yourself there. It's your time to shine. Let me give you a little music while you think about it. Thank you.
You are listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're here every weekday night between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight was Friday night, guys, and Friday night we do our wrap-up. Our wrap-up includes the things that we've discussed, a recap of the topics we've discussed down through the week. For those who missed those topics, never heard them, they get a chance to hear a small presentation of those topics on a Friday and comment on them if they like. It is a call-in show, so we always set aside a part of the show for you. We call it Your Time to Shine. We have a phone number. We have a chat room for your participation. And so tonight, after going over the subjects for tonight, I told you we talked about Memphis, a city in Tennessee, in the lower southwest corner of Tennessee, second largest city, and happened to be my hometown. I dedicated a piece for that because I wanted to speak to some folks in my hometown who listen to my show. Also, we talked a little bit about that stimulus check that's coming out. But we didn't just go into stimulus check. I mentioned to you that there was over 2.5 million people who have submitted a proposal, including some Democratic lawmakers who have submitted a proposal to have that stimulus check come out every month. Nonstop. And I told you that reminded me of a universal basic income. Almost the same as saying we should have a universal basic income in this country that provides a floor through which no one falls through. Because like I said in my Memphis presentation, an army moves as fast as a slower soldier. If we're going to advance as a society, as a nation on this earth, we got to go back and get. We got to bring up the rear, guys. We got to go back and get our slowest soldier. Whether we need to put a man on each of his side to carry him, put him on a gurney, whatever, we got to bring up the rear if we're going to go forward. An army moves us fast as a slowest soldier. In my town, in this state, in this country, it seems that we've decided to leave our slowest soldier by the side of the road. It seems that we've cut our ties with the ones that can't keep up, and we leave them behind. We call that advance in advance. We're never going to go forward until we go back and get our poor. As long as we leave desperate situations in our society, spots of desperate situations, we're going to have desperate acts committed on us. Because desperate situations are the fertile ground for desperate people to be created. And sometimes desperate people commit desperate acts. I know you got your guns. I know you got your bars on the wall. I know you got your security system. But all that money and time and energy could be saved if we made sure there wasn't desperate conditions in our community. Society. We got to bring up the rear. That's how we solve that problem. I also looked at the universal basic income question as a floor through which no one falls, a foundation from which to work from, to pursue one's dreams and aspirations. You don't have time to pursue your dreams and aspirations if you're hustling every day just for food, clothing, and shelter, primitive survival needs. If you're getting up like a caveman did and risk your life and limb and health for food, clothing, and shelter, you haven't advanced anywhere. If you have a constitution that says, a Declaration of Independence, that says governments are created among men to protect your inalienable rights, of which are life, basic survival needs would probably fall under that category, wouldn't it? Liberty, freedom, and the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of your goals in life. How you get there when all you do, when you look at your paycheck and you realize by the time I pay these bills, this check is gone. How do you build when a company can decide to close down your department and move it to Mexico or China or Indonesia? How do you build when you never make enough money to get ahead? A universal basic income provides options. Yes, it does. And I told you, there seems to be some governments who don't want you to have options. They want you dependent on the government completely. There's businesses and corporations that would prefer that you have to come to work for whatever they want to pay you, because you don't have alternatives. What if you had alternatives? That scares them. You will hear the opposition say, well, if there was a universal basic income, people wouldn't want to work. Well, that sounds like a corporation to me, complaining that if people are not forced to work, if people are not put in situations where they must come to your job, if people are put in situations where they don't have options, you are more likely to get them to come to work. The moment you give them options, they might not show up at that raggedy job for that raggedy pay. That scares a corporation because they prefer that you didn't see another way out other than coming to work for them on time, every day, regardless if you got a sick child at home, regardless if your car's broke down. Your job is to get here every day on time, or I'll fire you and hire somebody else. And then you won't even be able to feed that sick child. Somebody don't like the idea that you might have alternatives, options. And then, guys, we wrapped it up with light. Electromagnetic waves, they are. And color. Different vibrations of electromagnetic waves. And what's an electromagnetic wave? What the hell is that anyway? I wanted to explain to you that what you walk around calling light has electrical properties and magnetic properties. That's why they're called electromagnetic waves, not something fancy, not to be fancy, but to describe what's shining on you. Electricity and magnetism. And guess what? In that presentation, I pointed out that you were electric. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know that everything you see, smell, taste, and touch is registered in your brain through an electrical impulse. I don't know if you know your heart beats by electrical pulses. That if it stops, a paramedic would take two paddles, put them on your heart, on your chest, and shoot electricity through your body. And it might start your heart back to beating. Why? Because your heart beat is an electrical impulse. Your muscles are an electrical impulse. I told you in the 1800s, they used to take a frog's leg and put the two electrical probes on that leg and shoot electricity into that frog's leg, and that frog's leg would jump just like it was attached to a frog, because muscles, frogs and you, move by electrical impulses. So I guess I wrapped that up by saying that you were an electrical device, as though you were plugged into a wall. And I told you that electrical devices can be controlled remotely, can't they? Do you have a remote control in your home? Your electrical devices, without you getting out of your seat, can be controlled from across the room, can't they? Can't you turn your TV on and off, change channels, raise the volume with a remote control? A beam of electricity, what you call light, that's vibrating at infrared, something you can't see, hits your electrical device and makes it do things from across the room. And I told you, 5G is not pulses of electricity, of magnetic waves going out into the air, your microwaves, your cell phone waves. Oh, no. 5G is a beam, a directable beam that can be directed to send electromagnetic energy waves anywhere they want, to an automated car with no driver, anywhere they want. And I told you, you are an electrical device. And I said to you, electrical devices can be controlled remotely. And so, guys, I got into the weeds into your, how you are electric and all that, and the effects that some people realize that they can have on you. Electric remotely that you don't even know they have. However, our time is running down tonight. This was our Friday night presentation. Like I said, we're here Monday through Friday, so guys, I'll be back here on Block Talk Radio as your host for Revolutionary Life Monday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'd like to see you there. So if you hit that follow button on my site, it will notify you when we're live. And if you'd like to comment on some of the subjects, we have a whole call-in section that I devote to you guys. I open up my chat. I open up my phone. And I call it your time to shine. A whole section just for you. And so tonight, we're wrapping up our week. We'll be back here Monday, 7 p.m. tonight. I hope you're there. We're going to go out now, guys. And I'm going to give you a little music as I take you out. But you have a good evening. And thank you for listening, for those who listened. Thanks for listening. If you missed the presentation, if you only caught half of it, in an hour from now, this presentation will be on demand. And you can listen to it over again if you like, or in full. Thank you again for listening in. You have a wonderful night. And like I said, I'm going to give you a little music to take you out tonight. Good night. Thank you. Again.
Thank you.